Wow, wow, wow. Come on, put your hands together one good time for the Lord on that one, would you? And Judy, thank you for your vulnerability sharing that. It's beautiful. I knew Judy's grandpa probably 30 years ago. And he was an elder, a leader in the church. I remember him praying over my life. I'd never put that together until not too distant ago. And then when I told her that I remember her grandpa, and he was a godly man. And see, the prayers of your parents and grandparents, let me tell you something. You might think God's not doing anything for decades, but don't give up. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing. Don't stop declaring. God's got a plan for your kids. The Bible says that he's going to do something for your children, your children's children. Let's keep on believing for that. Judy, I'm so proud of you. God's got a great plan for you. He really does. You're going to look back at this time in your life. You're going to say that wasn't the best, but God brought me out. You're always going to give him honor and glory. He's going to take you farther than you ever thought you could go. You're going to help people. He's going to use what the enemy meant for evil. The enemy wanted to kill and destroy your life. He really did. He had it out for you. But God said, not so fast. I heard a cry from a long time ago, and God says, I don't forget and I don't let go of a prayer that somebody prayed for someone. Amen. And here you are today. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come on. Rufus, you on that organ today, you're just making me happy up here. You can't sing the old song, The Old Rugged Cross, and not have an organ going in the background. And boy, Rufus, you just brought that with everybody today, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm going to share something with you today that it'll encourage you. It'll be like, it might not taste good today, but tomorrow and the next few days, it'll taste real good. You know what I'm talking about when I say that? Sometimes you got to take a little medicine or a little pill at the time. You're thinking, ugh, I don't like that. But it'll be great for you. And I love you so much. And I want to encourage all the kids and the parents, 14 to 25. Did I get that age right? If you'll do a little two-minute video and send it to Aaron, you could have the pot. There's no gimmick involved. Well, there really is, because I want you to go on a missions trip and see your life changed and transformed for God. So, parents, come on, let your kids go. Encourage them, and let's do that. Let's do something great for God, okay? Let's pray together. Today, God, I just want to thank you for your love and what you've already showed and shared with us has been so remarkable. And I ask you, God, for everyone that is here today, that, you know, Lord, we woke up this morning, we didn't anticipate, didn't want the snow, we're hoping for another 65-degree Sunday, but it's cold. But we're going to choose to worship and honor you. And God, I know you brought us here today for a purpose and a plan. So, Lord, reveal it. Have your way in every heart and in every life and in every family, I pray. In Jesus' name, come on. And everybody said amen. 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 If you have your Bible, if you'd open it up to Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to be just a few minutes this morning. I want you to hear what I really believe. God just dropped this in my heart. I also want to tell you, when I was away this week, spoke at a missions conference, you can be so proud of people like Paulie, who's going to speak on this Thursday, and our Shandy. People, one after the other, came up to me and they said, are you Paulie's pastor? Are you Shandy's pastor? Oh, we love them. They're the best people on a missions trip. And I'm just so proud of you, of both of you, for being a shining example of what God can do in a life. So, and we just need to be thankful for that always. Philippians chapter 4. I want to read this little scripture with you this morning that just so brought up something and reminded me of something, and I hope I can share it with you with the passion that it struck me. Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, he is in prison, and he sends this greeting to that first century church. He says this in verse 21. He says, "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you." And then he says, "Especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." In our mindsets, we sometimes think of change always being associated with something that maybe we have to give up or move on from in our lives. Maybe we have to get away and separate ourselves from. And for most of the time, I think that's actually very true. But then there's times where God changes us in the midst of something that may seem uncomfortable. Thus, when I told you that today, when I leaned over to Patty and I said, you know, as nice as the beach may be, our lives were never changed at those moments. Our lives were changed at some of the most challenging and difficult moments that we ever experienced together. And I'm going to share a couple of those with you. But sometimes in our lives, we miss the change that God has intended for us simply because we don't learn that even during our discomfort, that He has a plan that He wants to reveal to us. I heard this phrase years ago. I use it. I love it. It says, "Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken." And I used to think, well, that's just some little phrase that people, they'll use that, you know, they're unorganized or they don't work hard to get a plan in their life and they just, you know, find themselves in a mess and, oh, I'm flexible, I get through it. And that's true in some cases, but also I've discovered that in others, the reality is opposite, that sometimes we find ourselves in positions or in places that we think are unfair. And we think, God, if you loved us the way you said you did, you'd never allow us to go through what we're going through. How many of you ever thought of that? God, if you really cared for me, you'd get me out of this mess. You wouldn't allow me to feel the way that I'm feeling. And then this letter from Paul comes to this early Christian church, and he sends them greeting, and then he says in this phrase, especially those who are from Caesar's household. And that household, that place, was the most anti-Christian place in all of Rome, maybe in the entire world at that time. And here Paul, he's not only implying that while he's there being chained, that there's other believers in that household with him that are sending greetings to the church who is praying for him. And let me tell you something, that the gospel of Jesus can reach into any place, any dark place. I don't care who you are, where it is, the gospel will find that darkness and he will bring light to it. Amen. And the emperor of this time in history, his name is Nero. He's one of the most evil men of all time. Historians say he burned down 70% of Rome then just so he could rebuild it and receive the accolades that he did something great. Plus, he burned it down and he blamed all the Christians in that region and said that they are the ones that burned it down. So it turned out that there, out of all the people in the land and the country, there hostility towards Christians like never before. Nero, he hated Christians so much that he would kill large animals, he would gut them, and he would put live human Christians in the skins and sew them up of these animals, throw them in an arena, and let other wild animals come tear them apart and eat them alive. He not only would do that, but he looked at Christians as objects of amusement. He would take live Christians and put them on a pole, set them on fire so he could give light to his garden at nighttime. And sometimes I read this and I think, and we complain about the trials and the troubles that we go through, and they're being killed and they're being hated, And here, in all of the midst of this, God arranges Paul to be found in a place that is so uncomfortable. He thinks he's going to Rome to preach the gospel, but in reality, he's going there as a prisoner. And he finds himself in the middle of this house, in this palace, chained up to a wall, and doing things that he thought he would never do. And I know for some of you, you'll leave today, you'll hear this and say, well, I'm glad that wasn't for me. That had to be for somebody else. And I've said it before, you're either coming out of a trial, you're in the middle of one, or hold on, one is coming. And the reality of it is that God, we don't have to run from it, but we can know that in the middle of it, God will use us. And if we trust him in the middle of it, he'll bless us. And we must know that sometimes that the blessing of God comes wrapped in a different package than what we might think it comes wrapped in. In fact, Paul says in Philippians 1, verse 12, he says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Listen to this. In verse 13, he says, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Verse 14, because of my chains, most of the brothers and the sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without any kind of fear. What is he saying here? He is saying here that I have been chained where I am. Circumstances could have been different. They're not. So I'm here. I'm not going to complain about it. But what God is going to do in me is he's going to use me as a voice to a people that unless I was there, they would never hear the gospel of Jesus. And instead of complaining, instead of murmuring, instead of saying, well, why do I got to do this? Why is this happening to me all the time? I want to go home and play with my toys. Instead of doing that, he shared the best and the greatest message of all. And I don't know if he did all talking, but he certainly lived it out by not complaining. Come on, some of you need a dose of that in your life. You wake up in the morning with a complaining heart and spirit on you. And it doesn't help you or anybody else. But they would never have heard the message of Jesus had he not been there. And historians say that they were so worried about Paul escaping that they would chain a different guard to him every 6 hours so that he wouldn't leave. And what do you think Paul would be talking to that guard about? I guarantee you he wasn't talking about politics. He was talking about the grace and the love of Jesus. And every time one of those guards were chained to him and they left, they had a dose of what it would be like to know Christ and come to the Lord. And that's why he says, all the brothers and sisters in Caesar's household greet you, because they were becoming saved one after the other. No one would have chosen this. And Paul, in his circumstances, he was chained to a wall in a cold, dark, and damp situation. But how about for you and I? Maybe you're in a place in your life where you just feel stuck. Maybe you're in a place in your life you just want out of it. I loved in Judy's testimony that when she got in the rehab, that even the counselors, they were ministering to her. She didn't choose that, but in the midst of that, God used it for his glory. And all of the plans that sometimes people hope for, they get stifled, they get stuck, they feel like we're chained to a job, we're chained to a relationship, we're chained to this area, we're chained to an issue, we're chained to a failure, we're chained to a physical condition. I remember I was thinking about this morning. I remember when Patty first started to get her chemo. Oh my goodness, I mean, we didn't anticipate it, we didn't look for it, this isn't something we pray, God, if there be any other way, but we went through it. And I'll never forget the first day when we're sitting in those chairs, we're sitting across one for another. I'm looking at the woman that I've been married to for 37 years at that time of my life. And I'm watching and the nurses, they're all happy and they're so nice and kind. Well, are you ready? And I'm, no, I'm not ready. I am not ready. I did not ask for this. I don't want it. I'm looking at this woman that I've loved. I've watched her raise three children, and she's washed dirty clothes and wiped dirty behinds and slapped mouthy mouths and not much. And there they insert that in there. I fell apart. I sat in that chair across from her, and I begin to weep profusely. And all of a sudden, the nurses are leaving her, and they're coming over to me, Mr. McDonald. Would you like us to give you something to sell you? Here, my wife is getting the treatment, and I'm falling apart. I didn't ask for it. But I tell you what, through that whole season and through that whole time, I knew that God would use that. You know, some of you feel like you're chained to a marriage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 12, Paul says this. Listen to me now. He said, now I speak to the rest of you, though I do not have a direct command from the Lord. If a fellow believer has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to continue to live with him, he must not leave her. Verse 13, and if a believing woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to continue living with her, she must not leave him. Hello? For the believing wife brings holiness to her marriage, and the believing husband brings holiness to his marriage. Otherwise, your children would not be holy, but now they are. But if a husband or wife who isn't a believer insists on leaving, okay, you can go. In such cases, the believing husband or the wife is no longer bound to the other, for God has called you to live in peace. Don't you wives realize that your husbands might be saved because of you? And don't you husbands realize that your wives may be saved because of you? And all the murmuring and complaining and the hashing back and forth. Don't you know that if you'll stick your heels in and say, God, I'm not going to give this up. I need your help. That he could do a miracle that you would never realize? Now, listen, I'm not criticizing. I know there's all kinds of extenuating circumstances. Anybody knows me, I don't judge anybody that's gone through anything, but I want to help you not to have to go through it again. And I was thinking about Patty and I, well, 38 years. I got to be honest with you. There were times in our lives where she wanted out, and I don't blame her. Thank you for not saying amen right there. And God may have you shackled to something that has a greater eternal perspective that you could ever understand. And God can use anywhere you feel stuck to. He can use it for his glory and for your blessing. Amen. All those times in my life where I thought, you know, what's the use? You know, I come from a broken home. You know, when you grow up in that, that's all you know. But then when I look at my kids today, I look at my grandkids, and I could weep because what I thought was difficult at one time, God strengthened us through it to produce something, oh my goodness, so much greater than I could ever imagine. Come on, can someone say one amen here today? And you may be struggling even in your own life with a particular person or persons in your life, and you're asking God, Lord, get rid of them. Some of you are saying, God, kill them. Just get them out of my life. I can't handle it anymore. But the entire time that you're feeling this, God may have sent them to you to work something not only out in them, but something in you. I know that this isn't popular. I like to be popular, but I don't live for it. Whether you leave and you don't like me, the truth is the truth. God sometimes changes us through the chains that we are connected to. He changes you. He doesn't get you out of everything that is uncomfortable. He allows you and I to walk through it so that we can experience the glory of God in the midst of it. We got to stop just looking for a route out. And this has happened in my life many times. And I can honestly say that I never enjoyed it. I never did. And I wish I would have had somebody tell me what I'm telling you when I was younger. So when it happened, I could say, okay, God, I don't particularly care for this, but what do you want to do in the middle of this for me? I thought of this several times in our lives where this has happened. You know, some more impactful, but one of the times 20 years ago when I moved all of our family to Seattle, Washington, to work in a ministry, and we got there and found out it wasn't what it was purported to be, and there we are, no work, we're broke, I'm worried, I'm hurt by people that I thought loved me, disassociated. We didn't have Facebook texting back then. I would stand at the mailbox and pray that someone would send a card and say, I'm thinking about you, praying for you. Nada. In that midst of all of that, we learned to depend on the Lord. And I had a man, a neighbor come to us and said, hey, he was an HR for Home Depot. He said, I can give you a job. And I remember going to work there and I hated it. I hated everybody there. I was mad at God. I'm being honest. I'm just being vulnerable. Don't judge me. And I remember, you know, we're scrapping. My wife, she takes a job. She's got to ride the bus. It's the hardest day of my life to leave her at a bus stop, leave our little boy, Garrett, off at a daycare. He's screaming and crying. I'm dropping my wife off at a bus stop. She's crying. I'm crying. It's the hardest time in our life. I go to work. They said there's overtime. I say, I'll take it because we need the money. We leads us out at 11:30 at night out into the garden department where 4 or 5 or 8 pallets of cow manure fall off the rack and they're spread all over. Here's a shovel. Here's a broom. Clean up the cow manure. And it's not the first time I've done that. In fact, I like the smell of cow manure. But not right then. And I looked up in the heaven that night in that Tacoma, Washington store. God, what are you doing to me? Why is this happening to me? And I never read that before. Nobody preached this to me before. And this young lady came out to help me. And she says, so what did you do before you came to Home Depot? I was a minister. I served the Lord. She goes, oh, I'm mad at God. My grandmother died. I wasn't ready for it. And at that moment, time stopped still. And God spoke to me. He said, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. I've ordered you here. And I began to share the kindness and the love of God with her at that moment. And my whole perspective began to change. Oh, what God, even though it wasn't ideal, I didn't like it. I didn't want it. But in the midst of it, God was going to use that as a chain in my life to help other people that I would never have the opportunity to speak to. Do you know that God calls you and I to speak to people that no one else could? You know, several years later, I've told the story before. I go to the doctor. He says, I want you to go to the hospital. I suspect something. He said, you have blood clots on your lungs. We're going to take you to Rochester. I said, okay, I'll drive down. They said, oh, no. You're riding in the ambulance. I said, no, I'm not. They said, yes, you are. I said, no, I am not. Sir, you are. I tell people, I'm at an age now. My parents were gone when I was 17. I don't have a lot of people telling me what I'm going to do. I got in that ambulance because my wife told me. And I get in there and they got me strapped down. It's hell. I'm riding in an ambulance. You got to be kidding me. God, you got to be kidding me. And we pull out around the corner, and the man sitting in the back, he said, you're Pastor Marty, aren't you? I'm like, oh. And for the next 40 minutes, I have a counseling session. The man who's having an issue with this in his home. I said, God, couldn't you have done this another way? Couldn't you just had him come to church and set up an appointment for me in my office? We could have had coffee together. Would you put me in that chained environment where I am forced to do what no one else has done? Oh. Then I'd never forget when I go get a prostate exam. All the men said amen. Praise God. Oh. Dear Jesus. He says, I want you to have a biopsy. What? That was the most evil, demonic experience from hell. It was from the depths and the darkness of hell itself. I'm in that room, and people all around looking at places that I don't show nobody. And the doctor says to me, so what do you do for a living? I wanted to say, shut up, do what you're getting paid to do, and I want to get out of here. That's what I wanted to say. I said, I'm a pastor. Oh. He said, well, I'm from Haiti. And the reason that I'm doing what I'm doing today is because missionaries would come from America, and I would see them literally heal people that were dying. And that's why I'm called to do what I'm doing here. He said, what kind of music do you like? They're playing Christian music in there. And I can't even tell you what they were doing. It just wouldn't be appropriate. But here I am preaching to this Haitian doctor that's 6'15". He's doing things to me, and there's people looking, and they're asking me about God. And on my elbows, I am preaching a sermon to them in a position that I never thought I would have to. I was in chains. Come on. Hear this again. Hear this. Philippians 1, he says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what happened to me actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear that throughout the whole palace guard and everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. And because my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Where I am maybe had not been my choice. But God says, in the moment that you are chained, for you to work it out and trust me and let God flow through your life. So not only you can help others, but that you can be helped in the middle of it all. Amen? Amen. And so what do you do when you feel chained? I got three little thoughts here, and then I'm going to close. Number one, you need to learn to dignify your trial. Listen to that. Dignify your trial. Well, I can't do that. You don't know what I'm going through. You're right. I don't know what you're going through. But instead of you running or you complaining about where God has you, maybe you just stop for a moment and say, okay, God, what do you want to do in me? I'm talking to people who have known the Lord for years, and I'm also talking to some new believers here. Because your relationship with the Lord is not going to be all cupcakes and cherries. You're going to go through some challenging times. And the reason that you go through it is what I said earlier. The beach does not change your life. But trials and troubles and chains do. Oh, you love me. I know you do. You love me? And ultimately, what you are going through is going to help you. And that when you go through it and you invite God in the midst of it, you not only help others and glorify God, but He blesses you. Well, I didn't tell you the other part of us living in Seattle and going through pain and troubles and trials. It was one of the most fabulous times that my family have ever experienced. We experienced miracles, some of like I never had saw before. I've told you many stories about that, but you need to learn to dignify your trial. Number two, you must learn that your life is more important than your words. Listen to this now. Because a lot of people got a lot of talk, but they ain't got a lot of living. You can talk it better than they can walk it. And God's looking for some people that will just walk it out. And sometimes you got to close your mouth. You may not have to be a preacher all the time, but what you do have to do and I have to do is be living in an attitude of kindness. Be nice to people when you're going through things. I'm guilty. I am guilty. When I go to the hospital, I have to have a resurrection in my life to become nice to anybody. You know, you wonder why I tell them, don't come and see me. You want to know why? Because I'm not nice. But I'm learning. Lord, I don't want to go to the hospital. I'll go to visit somebody. I don't want to go there. But instead of complaining, learn to be kind and generous and live it out and walk it out before you can even talk it out. Just to be kind, just to be gentle. And last, we are changed through his strength in tough places. Hear this right now. You are changed through his strength in tough places. Philippians 4:11, this is what Paul says earlier in that chapter. He says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. He said, I'm not in need. He says, for I've learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to be in plenty. I have learned the secret. I love that. There's a secret in this. He said, I learned it, of being content in every situation. Good, tough, people talking bad about you, negativity going on around you, people at your job. Said, are you going to work every day? I hate this place. I hate this. Why don't you go in there and shock everybody and say, I am so happy to be at work today. Praise the Lord. Come in a half an hour early. Bring some donuts with you. Skinny ones, that is. He said, I've learned to be content, whatever circumstance. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, living in plenty or want. Listen to this. He said, I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Whatever circumstances you're in, whatever problems you're in, whatever chain that you're facing, you can stand up and say, I got this. I can do this. I can make it through this. I can stand in the midst of this issue, this trouble, this trial, this situation. I can be an overcomer because greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. These aren't just things that we say and quote that sound good and get people fired up. These are the things that we believe in that are a part of our core that keep us in the midst of the hardest times that we've ever walked through in our lives. Come on today. And he's going to help you today. I just want you to close your eyes. And I want you, before you even contemplate long, wonder, oh, who's, you know, is somebody going to see me? I want you to just, I don't want anybody looking around or moving around. You could wait 3 or 4 more minutes. Just want you to say, Pastor Marty, you're talking to me today. I've been in something. I feel chained. Slip up your hand. All I want to do is pray for you right where you're at. Put it up. Don't be afraid. This could be a defining moment. God could use this time to really deliver you and set you free and help you. Put it up. Put your hand right up. Hallelujah. I'm not going to ask you to come down here, but I want you to raise your hand. I want you to stand. Everybody's head still bowed, every eye closed. Those who raise your hand, I want you to stand up where you are. I'm going to pray for you right where you're standing today. Come on, do it. Do it. Come on, every one of you. You didn't ask for it. You didn't even want it. But you're there. And you can complain and you can be mad. You can be angry. You can say, God put me in these chains that I can help others. That I can see the power and the deliverance come. Father, in Jesus' name. I do want the prayer people, unless you're standing, you stay where you are. But I want some of the prayer folk to come right down here. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for my friends today. God, you know what they're going through. I don't. But I know that you can deal with it, and I know you can give them victory in the midst of it. I know that even in the midst of the chains, in the midst of the challenge, in the midst of the difficulty, in the middle of the pain, God, that you want to lift them out of that. Not necessarily remove them from the situation, but lift their heart, lift their spirit, their attitude, and their relationship with you to a whole higher and another level. God, some that are here this morning that are so hurt and broken over what's happened in their lives, God, they can barely stand, but Lord, you have come to give them life. You have come to give them hope. You've come to give them the strength. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens our lives. Everyone stand with me now. I'm going to close in a moment here. Just keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed with me just for a moment. If you've never given your heart to Christ, you need to do that before you leave today. You'll never get out of a tough time walking alone. He's come, he sent his son Jesus into the world to give you life. The Bible says, and to give it to you more abundantly. He'll help you. You'll go through things, but he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You can call on him. He's on call 24/7, and he loves you. He's come to give you life. You need to ask him in your heart today, right where you're at. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I need you today, God. And if you do that or you want someone to help you in prayer, I want you to, when I say amen, I want you to just get out of your seat, come down, come talk to one of these beautiful people in the front that'll pray for you and believe God with you. You're going through a challenge. You're going through a dark place. God wants to help you through that. If you're in a marriage that is struggling, you got issues, you got challenges, you're not going to get around it unless you yield your life to him and let him help you. And he will and he can. He's here to help you. Any one of these folks here, pray and believe God with you. Let's pray together. Father, we give you all the thanks and praise today in the name of Jesus because you are good and you intend to do good. I pray, God, for my brothers and sisters today. You'll strengthen them. You'll give them hope. You'll give them courage to move forward. In the midst of their chain, change them, I pray. Use that situation in their lives that they're facing today to change who they are. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everyone said, amen. I love you so much. You look so beautiful. Listen, if you need prayer, I want you to come on down. If you want to give your heart to Christ or you did, come down. Tell somebody that. We'll believe God with you. Go in his grace today. He loves you so much. I was lost. I was in chains.